So today we are going to discuss about the prayojan aspect of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to Srila Sanatan Goswami. Yesterday we discussed about Abhidheya. Abhidheya means the process of attaining love of Krishna, or process of re-establishing our relationship with Krishna. Actually, Abhidheya is in the middle between Sambandha and Prayojan. Sambandha means relationship with Krishna. So how one can become related to Krishna? Through Abhidheya. And Prayojan, the ultimate goal of life, how can one attain the ultimate goal of life? Through Abhidheya. So this Abhidheya, or the process of developing our relationship with Krishna, is actually non-different from devotional service. Devotional service is the way to become related to Krishna, to develop our loving relationship with Krishna. And this devotional service, again, are of two kinds. The two types of devotional service. How many of you remember that? What are those two types of devotional service? Raise your hand. Don't hesitate. Raise your hand. Okay, Suren. Very good. Very good. And then sadhana bhakti is again divided into two categories. Now, what are those two categories? Very good. Vaidhi bhakti and Raghunanda bhakti. What is the definition of Vaidhi bhakti, Nanda Maharaj? When we observe devotional service, strictly following the rules and regulations laid down in the scripture. That is called Vaidhi bhakti. And what is the definition of Raghunanda bhakti? Raise your hands. Okay, Brahmadev. Not only an advanced devotee, actually, by Raghunanda bhakti means following, rendering devotional service, following the footsteps of one of the associates of Krishna in Vrindavan. Like, you see, Raghunanda is following Ragatmika. Ragatmika means those who have spontaneous loving love for Krishna, and they are the Krishna's eternal associates in Vrindavan. And when one renders service to Krishna, following their footsteps, now that cannot be done whimsically. That attitude or that intense craving develops due to what? Who knows? Due to? Anybody? Due to covetousness, due to greed. And the only criteria for Raghunanda bhakti is covetousness, which is in Sanskrit it's called loulam. Patra loulam atra mullam ekalam. Loulam, or greed, due to the intense greed, or due to the some sort of very uncontrollable desire and drive from within the heart that forces one to follow one of the associates of Krishna in Vrindavan, wants to render the service in that, following that mood, and that is called Raghunanda. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur actually describes that there is devotion actually has gradual development. He is saying that the atheistic moral consideration is the first step of spiritual life. Is moral but atheistic, doesn't believe in God but has some consideration for morality. That leads to theistic moral consideration, theistic moral attitude. Like there are some people, those who are moral but don't believe in God. Isn't it? Many, most of the people in the world are actually, they have a very strong sense of morality, but they do not believe in God. That, the state after that is theistic morality. Believing in God and accepting the sense of accepting morality, the consideration of morality because of the consideration of Krishna or God. And that, the theistic morality then leads to varnashram. The structure of theistic society is in varnashram. And this varnashram leads to Vaidhi Bhakti. Then Vaidhi Bhakti leads to Raganuga Bhakti. And then Raganuga Bhakti will lead to Prema Bhakti. Now one should be very, very concerned about always trying to reach the higher and higher stage. We should not think that, well, I have got this and that is the ultimate. There, actually, the religion becomes a dogma. And it becomes, that force, the religious practices become fanatical activities. So one should always be open to step on to the next higher stage. And when one does that, when one is prepared to go to the next higher stage, it's kind of something like climbing in a stair. Like what does one do? He puts his foot on the next higher stage and then he withdraws his foot from the previous stage. And that is how one actually makes progress. Now, if one at a lower rung considers that this is the ultimate and there is nothing higher, and then everything will become, the progress will be stifled and all the good intentions will be lost. That's why we find there are some religions who are actually on the very lower level of spiritual understanding. But they think that that's the ultimate. They are not open to listen to any other higher understanding or higher philosophy of religion. And that, you have seen what that kind of religion does. It simply causes damage to the human society. Therefore, a person who is really eager to make his human form of life successful should always be open for higher and higher understanding, higher and higher elevation. Now, so here, the point that I was trying to make is that Raganuga Bhakti is not without Vaidhi Bhakti, or rejecting Vaidhi Bhakti, but transcending Vaidhi Bhakti. And even when one comes to the platform of Raganuga Bhakti, he externally practices the Vaidhi Bhakti. Because the Raganuga development or our relationship with Krishna is a very personal affair. Our relationship with Krishna or devotion to Krishna is actually a love affair. Now when somebody really falls in love with somebody, and does he go to the marketplace and start blowing his trumpet? That, look, I have fallen in love with this person. No. He just keeps it as a secret. He treasures it within his heart. So similarly, a devotee's love affair with Krishna is a very private and personal affair. It's an internal development. So when the spontaneous love for Krishna develops, it is kept within the heart as a treasured wealth. and one matures it, one grows, allows it to grow further and further. Now, I go back to yesterday's abhidhaya aspect, and the most important consideration of abhidhaya I brought in today's class right in the beginning. That is the five important limbs of sadhana bhakti. What are those important limbs? Association with advanced devotees. Devotion to Krishna has how many limbs? I'm sure you all know. Very good. How many of you know? Please raise your hand. How many limbs devotion to Krishna has? Or how many different sections or aspects? How many of you know? Raise your hand. Very good. Very good. I thought some more hands will go up. Okay, there are 64 limbs of devotional service. So in nature of devotion and Chaitanya Charitamrita, they have been elaborately explained. So please read that carefully. But for us, we don't really have to remember all the 64 aspects. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simplified it so much so that we got only 5 aspects of those devotional limbs of devotional service. And those 5 aspects are association of devotees. What kind of association? When we associate with a devotee, when we speak of association, what kind of association we actually think of, or what kind of association we should crave for? Raise your hands, how many of you know? Okay, Mataji at the back. No, but what kind of sadhu sangha? Yeah, good, sadhu sangha is the Sanskrit word for that. But I wanted it to be a little more specific. Advanced. Actually, that has been described as sajati ashaya snigdha sadhu sangha satovari. Sajatiya. That person should have of the similar taste. Like, if you are in Vrindavan mood of devotion, then you should look for a devotee who is also in the Vrindavan mood of devotion, not in Dwarka mood or Vaikuntha mood. Vaikuntha mood is, what kind of mood is there in Vaikuntha? Very good, so many biases. Now let's see how many hands go up. So, very good. It's nice to have, this is Sankirtan, collective. So, Vaikuntha mood is the mood of awe and reverence, or opulence. And Vrindavan mood is sweetness, love, right? Now, these two moods are actually different. Now when one looks for a sadhu, association of a sadhu, he should be seeking for the association with a sadhu who is in a similar mood. Like for example, there are how many Vaishnava Sampradayas?
4.
And in this, the 5th one is actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, which although it's a branch of Madhva Sampradaya, but it stands out in its own glory. Or you can say all the 4 Sampradayas ultimately merges into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has accepted the best of these 4 Sampradayas and he made this, gave this Gauri Vaishnava Sampradaya. So, okay, there are four other Sampradayas and we have Gauri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Now when you want to associate with the sadhu, what kind of sadhu you need to look for? Gauriya Vaishnava or Ramanuja or Nimbarka? Gauriya Vaishnava. Why? Because the mood is the same. Otherwise, if we associate with one in a mood of awe and reverence, then we will also be induced by that mood and develop that mood, which will be contradictory. or at least which will be detrimental. So one consideration is sajatiya. Now if we go into this sajatiya consideration, then one further consideration is that the mood again becomes more and more specific. Like in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya also there are different branches. Like there is Nityananda Prabhu's mood, Advaita Acharya Prabhu's mood, and Rupa Goswami's mood. Nityananda Prabhu's mood is in friendship. Advaita Acharya's mood is also in a similar kind of more of a sakya based relationship. Sakya and vatsalya based relationship. But Rupa Goswami's mood is following the mood of Srimati Radharani, conjugal mood. So then we can see like it is becoming more specific. Not only the Gaudiya Vaishnava, but in Gaudiya Vaishnava also we have different specific lines. Is it flying over your head? Is it? It's a very feeble response actually. That means with many it's flying over the head. Okay, since I started, I'll just finish it. And then, so in not only Gaudiya Vaishnava, but Rupanuga Gaudiya Vaishnava. And now in Rupanuga Gaudiya Vaishnava also, we have a very specific mood, which is not available in other Rupanuga branches. What is that mood? Srila Prabhupada's mood. Like many other Gaudiya Vaishnavas can't really understand that how Krishna consciousness can spread in America or Africa or China or Japan, and how to relate to all these devotees from different countries. They're mostly Bengal based, at the most India based. But Srila Prabhupada's mood is international. And you'll feel that, like for example, I can tell you that how I feel sometimes when I go to different other Gaudiya Math. It's very Bengali, and somehow I fit in because somehow I got a Bengali body too, and I was brought up in Bengali culture. But that mood is very different from Istanbul. Therefore, like we have a very very special mood, that is Prabhupada's mood, Prabhupada mood. So we can say among the Vaishnavas Gaudiya, among the Gaudiyas Rupanuga, among the Rupanugas we have Prabhupada Nugas. So when we think of association, we have to think of this association. One of the same mood. Of course that should not become clannish or sectarian. We should not think, well, we are the most elite. No, it is just a matter of, well, this is where my heart is feeling perfectly at home. Snigdha. The sadhu, the devotee, must be very, very calm and composed. Not an agitating person. Snigdha means, by his association, one will naturally feel peaceful. And sadhu sangha sato bari. Bari means more advanced. So when we seek for an association, that devotee must be more advanced than us. Not that because these junior devotees are going to glorify me, I should always seek for that association. No, that is not right. One should always seek for more advanced association, because then there is a possibility of making advancement by his association. So anyway, so sadhu sangha, or association of advanced devotees, is one. Then studying the scriptures, studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Also how? Very good. In association of devotees. Advanced devotees. Then Naam Sankirtan, congregational chanting of the holy name. residing in the dham. Residing in the dham, Prabhupada also explains that sometimes it is not possible for staying in the dham, like Mathura, Vrindavan, and Mayapur. Or if all ISKCON devotees start to move towards Mathura, Vrindavan, and Mayapur, then what will happen to our preaching? Will stop. So the dham, residing in the dham, actually means residing at a place where the Lord is present. The definition of a dham is the place where the Lord is present. So if you are staying at a place where the Lord is present, is it a dham? Yeah. So the temple of the Lord is a dham. And we can even turn our house into a dham by blessing the deities at home. And doing everything for the sake of the deities. And then worshipping the deity with respect. So these are the five essential limbs that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prescribed. And if we consider ISKCON, we can see that Srila Prabhupada most expertly made these five things available in ISKCON. Or ISKCON actually has been based or founded upon these five limbs of devotional service. In ISKCON, we can see the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. What does it mean? Does it ring any bell? The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. All over the world, Srila Prabhupada has made the arrangements for the association of devotees, Sadhu Sangha. In every temple, Srila Prabhupada arranged that every morning there must be Bhagavatam class. And Srila Prabhupada himself translated Srimad Bhagavatam so that the devotees can study them, and he gave extensive purport to Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Sadhu Sangha, Bhagavat Seva, then Naam Sankirtan. In ISKCON, the Naam Sankirtan is going on in two most wonderful ways. One is Harinam. Devotees are going out in the streets and chanting. And that chanting is further extended by preaching. Actually, Kirtan is non-different from preaching. Or preaching is non-different from Kirtan. When one is giving, sometimes people think, well, you are giving a lecture in the class, but now is the time for arati. And there is no Kirtan. But actually, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed that out wrong. He said that this Bhagavad part is non-different. Krishna Katha is the real Kirtan. Speaking about Krishna, discussing Srimad Bhagavatam is the real Kirtan. It may not be melodious to listen to, but to the heart and ears, it's the most melodious. Bhavanti Ritkarna Rashayana Katha. This Bhagavat Katha gives the highest pleasure to the transcendental ears and heart. So, Naam Sankirtan is going on in the most wonderful way in ISKCON through Harinam Sankirtan, Bhagavat Path and preaching. Congregational chanting of the holy name. Then residing in the dham, Srila Prabhupada established dhams all over the world. The ISKCON temples are actually the holy dhams. And worship of the deity with respect, that also one can see that the standard of deity worship is the highest in the world in ISKCON. Even these old temples of Vrindavan, like compared to ISKCON's Shringar, compared to ISKCON's standard of worship, they are nowhere near. So that is Srila Prabhupada's expert arrangement. So these five limbs of devotion is being practiced in ISKCON in the most perfect way. Therefore, when one joins ISKCON, he automatically gets an opportunity to practice the devotional service in the most effective way. Okay, so always remember about these five important limbs, five most important limbs of sadhana bhakti. Now we will go to the prayojan. So prayojan means, the word prayojan in Sanskrit means, who knows? Huh? Prayojan? Now we will go to the prayojan. So prayojan means, the word prayojan in Sanskrit means, who knows? Huh? Prayojan? You don't have to, but if you know, raise your hand. Okay, anyone else? Yes, Brihad. Huh? Final goal. Yes. The Sanskrit word prayojan means need, necessity. What is the ultimate need? That I'm sure won't be difficult for anyone to answer. What is the ultimate need? How many of you know? Lokabandhu Prabhu? Very good. So that's the ultimate need of our life, is to love and serve Krishna. Love and service are interlinked. When we love, we serve. That's natural. The father serves the son, or the mother serves the child. Why? Does the mother get some salary? Huh? Or does the father get some salary? No. Out of love. So real service is a result of love. And this love is actually the source of joy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out that this love is the ultimate goal of life. This he made Mahaprabhu made a very wonderful statement. Mahaprabhu said, Kikaj sannashe mor prem prayojan. Prayojan, you understand. Mahaprabhu said, Kikaj sannashe mor, what's the use of sannas? Mahaprabhu took sannas, but then he is saying, what's the use of sannas? Prem prayojan, what I actually need is the love of Krishna. And this also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established very nicely through his conversation with Ramananda Roy. How many of you are aware of Ramananda Roy? By the way, do you have any problem lifting your hand? Ramananda Roy, I'm sure most of you know, but for some reason you're not lifting your hand, raising your hand. Okay, Ramananda Roy is one of the most intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Roy was the governor of southern India, what is known as Andhra Pradesh today. Vidyanagar. There's a capital called Vidyanagar, and Ramananda Roy was the governor under the King Pratapadrudra. Now he was we can consider these associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mentioned about Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, who they were in their previous life. Before they joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sura Narayan. Yeah, they were the ministers of the king of Bengal. And here we can see again, Ramananda Roy, who is he? He is the governor. So all big, big personalities were actually following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we can well imagine that very soon we will see that big, big people of today's world also will start to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We won't be surprised if Nelson Mandela becomes a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day. If somebody is sincere about his ultimate goal of life, then he'll naturally become attracted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, Srila Prabhupada's teaching. So Ramananda Roy was the governor, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi. He was traveling to South India, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Ramananda Roy on the bank of the river Godavari, and they had a discussion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking Ramananda Roy, what's the ultimate goal of life? And Ramananda Roy started off by saying Varnashram. Mahaprabhu rejected that. No, Varnashram is external. Then Ramananda Roy said Karma Yoga. Mahaprabhu said, no, that is also external. Then Ramananda Roy said, Karma Sannyas, Karma Tyag. Mahaprabhu said, no, that's also external. Then Ramananda Roy said, Jnana Yoga, or Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna. So prior to that, he actually said, Sarva Dharman Paritajya. When he was talking about renunciation of karma, he quoted the verse, Sarva Dharman Paritajya Maam Ekam Saranam. Mahaprabhu said, no, that's external. Then Ramananda Roy spoke about Jnana Yoga, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atmana Shochati Na Kamshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhakti Lavati Param. Mahaprabhu said, that's also external. Then Ramananda Roy spoke about pure devotion. Sthane Sthitva Shruti Vatam Pranubam. When he spoke about pure devotion, Anna Bhilashita Sumnam Jnana Karma Dana Britam Anukullena Krishnanu Silanam Bhakti Vittama. Then Mahaprabhu said, yes, that's right. But tell me, what is beyond that? So then Ramananda Roy spoke about devotional service in servitorship. Mahaprabhu said, yes, that's true. That's good. But tell me something. Tell me what's beyond that. Then Ramananda Roy said, devotional service in friendship. Mahaprabhu said, yes, that's right. But tell me what is beyond that. Then Ramananda Roy said, devotional service in parental love. Mahaprabhu said, yes, that's right. Tell me something beyond that. Then Ramananda Roy said, Ramananda Roy spoke about devotional service in conjugal love. Then Mahaprabhu said, yes, that's right. But tell me what is beyond that. Then Ramananda Roy said that, I didn't know anybody could ask what is beyond that. But since you are asking the questions and you are providing me with the answers, or you are enabling me to answer those questions, so if you empower me, then probably I'll be able to answer. And then, out of this conjugal devotion, gradually he came to the point of the devotion of Srimati Radharani. And then, when he started to explain that this Radha and Krishna are one in the highest loving exchange, Radha and Krishna become one, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt that there was some problem. His identity is being revealed. So he covered Ramananda Roy's face and said, okay, that's it. So in this way, through his discussion with Ramananda Roy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually explained the prayojan aspect. Loving devotion to Krishna has been completely, perfectly defined in this way. So here we see that there are five mellows of devotion. So those five mellows of devotion are Santya, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya. You all are familiar with these five mellows? Okay. So Santaras means When one develops a relationship with Krishna in the mood of neutrality. Neutrality means it's favorable, but there is no active reciprocation. Neutral means no activity. Now, when there is devotion for Krishna, but no service, that is a devotion in neutrality. Therefore, in pure devotional service, neutrality is not included. Because pure devotion is pure devotional service. So in neutrality there is no service. It is just, okay, you are there, I am there, you are okay, I am okay. And at the most, let me meditate upon you. Let me just think of you. Not serve you, but think of you. But when that mood becomes intensified, when the service attitude becomes more intensified, and there is an attitude for service, then that is called, when the Lord is the master and the devotee becomes the servant, that is bhakti-ras or devotional service in serviceship. Then after that comes devotional service. Then servitorship becomes more intensified when the love becomes more intense or love develops further, then from servitorship it comes to friendship. And when in friendship, you see, in servitorship the Lord is above and the devotee is below. But then in friendship, the Lord and devotee become on the same level, come on the same level. Then when the friendship becomes further intensified, or this mood becomes further intensified, then it becomes parental. In parental, what happens? In parental, the devotee becomes higher and the Lord becomes lower. And the father thinks, oh, he's my child. The mother thinks, if I don't feed the child, he'll die. And this is how Mother Yashoda feels. If I don't feed Krishna, Krishna will become sick and he will die. And just as every mother thinks that he is not eating enough, that's why he is looking so pale. So Mother Yashoda feels that way. Krishna is the whole day, he is just roaming around in the sun and doing all kinds of mischief. He is not eating well, he is not eating enough, and he is not sleeping enough. And then when Krishna sleeps, Mother Yashoda sees Krishna lying in his bed with the marks of in his body, with the scratches on his body, and he thinks that, oh look, whole day he was roaming in the forest of Vrindavan and he got these scratches from the thorns, and those gopis who were washing, cleaning him or bathing him last night, they didn't bathe him properly, and all this the color of the mud is still in his body. So in this way Mother Yashoda takes care of Krishna. Nanda Maharaj feels that if I don't chastise the child, he'll become spoiled. So this way the devotee takes a higher position and treats the Lord as a subordinate. And then conjugal, actually conjugal, one cannot say that the conjugal, when the parental love becomes further intensified into conjugal, no, because this parental and conjugal are opposing mood. So conjugal is another branch from friendship. From friendship one branch goes towards the parental, and from friendship another branch goes towards conjugal. Like a friend becomes father, a friend, just like Balaram is a friend, but he's an elder brother. And that mood, from elder brother Balaram, is Nanda Maharaj, etc. And another side is a friendship Friendship develops into girl friendship. So Krishna has his girlfriend, the gopi. And this friendship is that for the sake of Krishna they are prepared to do anything. They are Krishna's lover. So in this way there are five different mellows of devotional service, and the love for Krishna is based on these five mellows. Let me see. Before that I just discussed about a few points I gave that you can read them and consider them. How from faith, we discussed about this also yesterday. From faith leads to taste for hearing and chanting. Then taste, this taste actually leads to attachment. Then attachment leads to ecstatic emotion. Attachment leads to the seed of love for Krishna. Or we can, in simple words, we can say this: due to this attachment, one begins to experience the spiritual emotions for Krishna. And this spiritual emotion further intensifies in the move, in the form of love for Krishna. And in the ultimate sense, what is this love? Although, an interesting thing is that although this is the most commonly used word, love is the most commonly used word, but it is not understood at all by most of the people. Unless and until one becomes a devotee of Krishna, one cannot understand what love is. In the material platform, lust is misunderstood to be love, or the perverted reflection of real love, spiritual love, is considered to be love. But it's not love. What goes on in the material platform in the name of love is not love, but it is lust. Now what is actually love? Who knows? Shall I see some hands going up? Jai Sachin and the attraction for something sublime. Very good. Not expecting any return. Kapila? Unmotivated and uninterrupted. What? Love. Okay. Yes, Adibaya? To give up one's personal consideration for the pleasure of love. Yes? To give pleasure only to the beloved. Okay, very good. Okay, yes? Unconditional service. Yes, very good. Okay, so you all get some. Yes? The heart's intense craving to please Krishna. Very good. So, you want to say something? Amala devotional service. Very good. Yes, Mukunda? Developing a relationship with Krishna. Very good. Yes? When there is no obstacle in the way. Okay, very good. Yes. Very good. But if we go a little more technical, then we can say that love is actually a force. It's one of the potency of the Lord. It's a force. How does that force function? Did you ever consider how that force of love function or act? Love is actually the force that brings two objects together. And hatred separates us. When two persons are in love, what happens?
Huh?
So what actually brings them together? That force of love. And where does the force come from? Huh? Individually, it comes from the spirit soul. The spirit soul actually has that force within him. Therefore, since the spirit soul is situated in the heart, we feel that the love is coming from the heart. So it is actually a force that brings us together. Now in the material platform we see that that two objects or two persons come together due to this force of love. I wouldn't have said object, I would have said two living entities out of love they come together. We see that somebody loves his dog. What does he do? He is with the dog all the time. Or he wants to be with the dog all the time. He goes to bed with the dog. In the morning he takes the dog for a walk. And when he's out in his work, he's wondering what the dog is doing at home. And as soon as he comes back home, the dog pounces on him and he embraces his dog. Now this is how love, the force of love, brings two living entities together. There cannot be love between two inert objects. Although you may say that the chair loves the table. But they, on their own, cannot come together. So it needs a living entity to love. Now this force of love that we have, what is the purpose of that force? Brahmadev, what's the purpose of this force of love? The purpose of the force of love is to unite us to Krishna, with Krishna. With this force, we actually are meant to be with Krishna, come to Krishna. Or if we put it the other way around, if we want to go back to Krishna, or if we want to become united with Krishna, then how should we do that? Through love. Love is the force that can take us to Krishna. And this love is called devotion. This love is devotion.